I like to get and receive, whether books or hearing it from somebody else, some sage marriage advice, some really wise things about relationships and marriage and how to get those working right. Well, when my wife and I were getting married, we registered, like many people do, for gifts, and we went down the list of all kinds of stuff that would be nice to add and have in a new house and all that sort of stuff. And when it came time for the unwrapping of the things, we got something, most everything we got was on the list. We got something that wasn't on our list. We were a little surprised. It wasn't something that we really thought about. It wasn't something that was like, oh yeah, we need one of those. It was a griddle, a little pancake griddle. And the note came along with it from the couple that said, we know you didn't register for this, but we have loved ours and we figure you will love yours. And it was one of the best gifts we got. We use that all the time. In fact, it didn't make it through this last move. But we had used it for many years. It was great. It was a wonderful addition. It really made things a lot better for pancakes and all that fun stuff. But it was one of those sage sort of things that you go, oh, I didn't even think of that. Today we're going to be continuing in this relationship series, and we're going to go to the wisest person for some advice. We're going to be going to God to get some advice about relationships this morning. When you start out in your marriage and in your life, you don't know much about anything. There's a lot to learn, a lot to figure out. It takes years to develop wisdom in relationships. And so let's take a look at what God has to say. And if I could sum up the point for the sermon this morning, it is this: that relationships are God's ongoing program for learning forgiveness. Relationships are God's ongoing program for learning forgiveness. God is teaching us in our relationships about what his forgiveness is like and what ours should be like too. How about we pray as we get into the passages this morning? Lord, we acknowledge that we read about forgiveness and we hear about it so often that we often can take it for granted. But Lord, as we look at some passages about this topic, we pray, Lord, that you'll open our hearts, open our minds, that we might understand you better, and that we might also understand what our relationships need as well. Lord, we ask you bless this time and worship this morning in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 is probably a passage that you've heard before. It reads this way: in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. The first line of the verse is an Old Testament reference. It references a passage of scripture that encourages people not to sin whenever they are angry. There is an anger, and you can be angry, and you have those feelings from time to time, but there is a right way and a wrong way to handle those feelings. In your anger, do not sin. And then this part about sage advice about how not to sin in your anger, we read Paul's application. He says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. That gives a certain time limit on how long you can be angry, doesn't it? People have tried to apply this in a lot of ways, and you often hear about it in marriage relationships. One of the jokes I heard was pretty good. It said that a long-term survivor of marriage said this: yeah, okay, we fight, but we have never gone to bed mad. One year we stayed up for 3 months. Norman Wright is one of those marriage relationship sort of experts in the Christian community. And Norm Wright was talking about this passage and how to resolve anger. And he made a note about a little tiny replication village in South Wisconsin. It doesn't exist anymore. It's been out of business for quite some time. But what they did was they took this this region of the world, Scandinavia, and they recreated a little Scandinavia in a little town in southern Wisconsin. And they made several trips back over to that other part of Europe where they were replicating, and they brought back a whole bunch of furniture and original stuff so that they could make it pretty authentic. They didn't want to replicate stuff. They just loaded up a bunch and brought it over to put in these buildings that they had built to replicate this other country. And one of the things that was provided in the tour was one of the pieces that they brought over. And what it was a chair that was half size, a small chair. And it wasn't in a children's room, and it wasn't at a dining table, and it wasn't in a study area. The little half chair was in the bedroom. A tradition that was many years ago in Scandinavia was that there would be these tiny chairs in a couple's bedroom, and the way it translates into English is the chair is called the I'm sorry chair. And if one of the couples had done something and messed up, done something wrong, angered the other person, that they would go and they would sit mournfully in the half-sized chair there in the bedroom. And they weren't supposed to get up or leave it until the couple had resolved their conflict, until they had mended their relationship, until the I'm sorry became the you're forgiven. It was a way of encouraging couples to settle their differences and their disagreements before it set in and became a problem in their relationship. As the joke goes, this can lead to some really long nights. I'm not sure that this is exactly a command, but I would say that what it teaches is for us to seek forgiveness and to mend our relationships quickly. Jesus also had a similar teaching when he was giving the Sermon on the Mount. He says that if you know that another disciple, another believer, a person, is angry with you, to go and settle your disagreement quickly. To settle it before it sets in. To get it taken care of. I think this is more the gist of the not letting the sun go down on your anger. That to resolve relationship difficulties quickly is a requirement. You see, sundown is a really awkward time to have to resolve your conflicts. Because in the worst part of the winter, the sun might go down before you've ever had your dinner. You might not even be home in time. But sundown is also an awkward time because we tell time differently than they did back in the old days in antiquity. Our day, we tend to start at midnight. That's when our day rolls over and the new day starts. But that's not the way it was for Jews or Romans or most anybody in antiquity. Sundown was the end of the day. Sundown was when the new day started. And so maybe a good way to understand this verse is this. Don't start your day still fighting yesterday's fights. Don't start your day still fighting yesterday's fights. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't start a new day fighting yesterday. God's encouragement for our relationships is that we would learn to forgive. Learn to let go of our anger, our upsetness, and things that have bothered us from the previous day so that it does not pollute and contaminate and get into our relationships in a destructive way. Sometimes it's hard to forgive on such a quick notice. But nonetheless, trying to is certainly something we can all do. Another bit of advice about forgiveness comes from Proverbs chapter 19. Verse 11 says this, "A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense." This verse encourages us to just overlook things that have caused us trouble or rubbed us the wrong way. In fact, it describes wisdom as one that produces and yields patience. Patience with other people. Patience with what they do that may be bothersome to us. Nelda would tell you that I am growing in my patience and forgiveness. And one of the things that I have grown in is my concern over really bad eating habits at the table. I have made progress, but I'm still working on it. Ruth, I think, sometimes feels a little traumatized from her childhood. When she was little, I was on her about all of the things that she did that were bothersome, like talking with her mouth full, touching her food and scooping it onto her fork, and she was like 3. Maybe this all stems from a cousin of mine. When I was in high school, she was in early elementary age group, and she had this habit whenever we would go out to a restaurant or we were eating a family dinner that whoever she was next to, she would take her dirty, grubby hands that had touched her food, and she would pet me with them. It was a lot. But maybe the boys and the twins don't realize it, but I've come a long way. I just now give dirty looks, complain about maybe how they slurped their drinks, but I'm a lot more patient than I used to be. Things that are big or even bigger become small and even smaller whenever we exercise this passage of Scripture. It is to our glory to overlook an offense, to not be bothered by little things. But the truth is, we have to work at it. Few of us come at life already able to just overlook and not pay attention to the things that give us irk. One well-founded truth is that the more we express our anger, the more angry we become. People who are road ragers, who get angry at other people's poor driving habits, those people who are angry about other people's driving, if they hold that emotion in and let it go away, they actually get less angry about other people. But if somebody cuts them off in traffic and they yell something out, even in their car where nobody else can hear them, if they're yelling about it, if they're using finger signals, if they're expressing their road rage, it actually grows and gets worse. But the opposite is true. That when we experience frustration and we refuse to express it and we refuse to complain about it, when we refuse to express our anger, it actually diminishes. Our complaints get fewer in life. And so we can either choose to make that part of our lives about anger and frustration greater and greater and greater, or we can choose to show wisdom and gain glory and overlook the things that bother us. Our ability to forgive should grow with age and experience. Age and experience should give us that wisdom and so produce in us greater forgiveness and mercy and transform our character. age and experience produce wisdom, forgiveness. Returning to Ephesians, and even Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says this in the final verse: be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You have been on the receiving end of forgiveness, of God's patience and his glory. You've been on the receiving end of accepting someone else's mercy. And as a result, there is that expectation that we would mimic the one who has forgiven us. It's even why Jesus has in the Sermon on the Mount and the Lord's Prayer, he says that we are to forgive as we have been forgiven. You see, our debt is canceled. Our annoyance is overlooked. Our sin is washed away. And all of this is because Jesus came and died for us. Because grace that we didn't deserve was given to us. And therefore, giving grace to someone else is a normal response. Our debt is canceled. It's forgiven. And as a result, we too can be kind to someone else. We can show gentle and benevolent behavior. We can be tender-hearted, letting down our walls. It takes time to get good at forgiveness in relationships. They will even test you, pushing you to forgive beyond what you maybe ever thought you could. So that kind of practice is something that we need to work on. Maybe this week, you can start by applying that not letting the sun go down on your anger, and try to start each day without carrying over the issues from the day before. Maybe this week you can identify some small annoyance that you could start overlooking. But once you start down this path of forgiving quickly, of overlooking difficulties, I guarantee you that it snowballs little by little until your character and your reaction to relationships becomes more and more and more like the God that we worship. A name of someone that you probably don't even know is Bucky Knudsen. Years ago, you might have recognized the name of his father. He was the president of GM for a little while. His name was William Big Bill Knudsen. Bucky, from an early age, had taken an interest in automobiles. And when he got to be 14, his dad bought him a car. He was so excited that he couldn't wait for the car to arrive. But when it did, it was a little surprising because it arrived in pieces. And his dad told him that if he could put it together, he could have it. And as the months passed, Bucky put all of the car together, got a running vehicle. You see, our relationships are also some assembly required. And it's far easier to build and put those relationships together when we're following God, his wisdom, because he is the wisest person that you will ever know. You see, our relationships are God's ongoing program for us to learn to forgive like he forgives. The grace he pours out on us. You may have a reason to seek his forgiveness today. Some pattern, some behavior, some choice that needs his grace and mercy. And today, as we conclude our service, he is eager to bestow his grace and forgiveness and mercy on all who ask. Let's pray. Lord, we are so fortunate to believe and know a God who is full of mercy, abundant in grace, who overlooks our sins and doesn't hold them against us, who is eager to welcome us and forgive us. Lord, we are fortunate to have a God so merciful and kind, so loving and patient. Lord, we can come before you at any moment and bring to you even the deepest and darkest secrets. But Lord, you ask that we would be honest with you about our failings, about our struggles. Lord, as we lean on you and depend on you for grace and mercy day after day, we pray, Lord, that not only would we receive that grace and mercy and forgiveness, but that we might bestow it on others too. In your name, we worship you today. Amen.